CSRI podcast on how to build a sustainable bank in the MENA region. I'm Martina Garcia, I'm the director of the Center for the Study of Financial Innovation. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Periana Vedalgadi and Vera Spencer Kubek to discuss the latest white paper on how to build a sustainable bank in MENA. Dr. Periana Vedalgadi is a lecturer and a program leader in sustainable finance at the London Institute of Banking and Finance. And she has more than 15 years experience working with the private and the public sector in the MENA region. Vera Spencer Kubek is a sustainable consultant and advisor with a huge experience in delivering multi-million international business transformation and technology-driven change in financial services. So the two are the dream team to study this this topic, and I'm extremely happy to welcome them today. Could we start by, can you tell us why did you decide to research and write on this topic?
Thank you. So I decided to co-author with Vera on this topic because I've been approached by a few banks in the Middle East, North Africa, asking why should we transform to sustainable finance and how to do it? So there's a bit of challenge here in understanding why is sustainable finance transformation important and is it optional or not and how to do it. This is because simply they are there are common mistakes in banks in the MENA region in how to transform their banks and where to start from. So it's a still trial and error that's a bit making them behind. So I'm cooperating with Vera to provide them with a clear path on how to transform towards sustainable finance.
Excellent. Vera, what about you?
Yeah, if I could just add a few things, maybe. Obviously, we know that the transformation is not optional. We know that changes are happening in the environment, in the natural environment, as well as in the social environment. And I would dare to say that this is probably the most significant challenge of our generation to actually conduct this transformation. And from experience and from, unfortunately, statistics also confirm this, we know that about 80% of business transformations fail or failed the first time round. And unfortunately, this time round, we don't really have the benefit of the time and we don't really have the benefit of being able to fail. We can't fail. And we know the reasons for this failure. The reasons are known. They are perfectly avoidable. So we basically decided to create a paper and give businesses best practices, probably share best practices and share some tips how they should approach this task.
Yeah, I mean, reading the paper, I was really surprised and struck by this assertion that this is the most challenging transformation to be done. And I really would like to better understand why sustainability is harder than, for example, navigating the great financial crisis, as you mentioned in the paper.
What is the reason? Why is it? I mean, it's obviously a transformational change, like lots of other transformational changes. So in that respect, it's very similar to what businesses have been doing, or organizations in general, not just businesses, have been doing from probably the beginning of time. We have to realize, though, that in this case, we are transforming mature systems. Sometimes, even when we just look at climate change, for example, sometimes climate change is called a perfect storm, or it's a super tricky transformation or super wicked challenge, they sometimes call it. Because, as I said, we transform mature systems, mature economic systems, mature political systems to some extent. And we have to tackle it at all levels. We have to look at it globally. Then we have to kind of look at the transformation of individual countries, regions, sometimes companies, and as well as individuals. And that is making the landscape massively, massively complex. So to me, that is one of the key reasons why it's just much more challenging than any other transformation. You may also pick up, though, that there is lots of focus on data collection. There are lots of organizations mm-hmm. focus on sustainability data. And the reason for this is because we traditionally do not collect data that are related to so-called triple bottom line. We are very much focused on the single bottom line, on the profits and on the economic side of things, but we very rarely focus on the social and the environmental side, or collecting data about the different types of capital, if you may want to reformulate it. And that means that the data on sustainability is still patchy, is not sufficiently robust. So there's lots of a kind of effort now to make the data available. And obviously, if we want to make good decisions, we need good data.
Yeah. So if I understand you well, what you're saying is that it's not just the internal business transformation, which obviously is very challenging, but is that this transformation is taking place in an environment that is itself subject to a lot of transformation and uncertainty and a lack of an imperfect transformation.
Exactly. So we are transforming a business whilst the economic environment is transforming at the same time. So we're seeing the regulatory space transforming. We're also seeing things like consumer appetite transforming. Obviously, the more the consumers are educated about sustainability and about what is going on, so they are changing the way they interact with companies, for example.
Yeah. And what about the from an internal perspective, Perrianne, do you think that there are specific challenges to this transformation inside the banks?
Well, there are a few, actually, if I might add to Vera's argument. Well, first of all, it's not a technical change, it's a change of mindset. It's not doing business as usual. It's not business as usual. They tend to do business the same way, plus integrating the ESG. So the ESG is being treated as an external add-on, sherry on top. It's not, it should be the foundation of doing the business and not sherry on top. Mm-hmm. So they should transform their mindset looking into how to do business. It's not like one extra mile that we're doing to tick the box. So this is first. The second is most of the banks in the MENA, they're looking for one size fit all. So give us, like they asked me to give them a few steps to follow. It's not a one size fit all. Like each organization, although they're all banks, but banks work in different national business systems, and oil-based economies is different, and agri-based economies is different than tourism-based economies. They have to do things differently. So the transformation, they're not stand-alone sector in the transformation. They have to look into the characteristics of the national business system they're operating on. So looking at what government's doing, looking at the laws, the income stream, where is it coming from? If it's coming from oil, it's different than agribusiness, different than tourism or an industrial country. So it's changing a mindset and not just a bit of technicalities that changes. And the change of mindset needs cultural change, and cultural change is extremely painful to everyone. Like why do I have to stop doing business the way as I do business every day? This is what's in it for me. So it's a whole mindset change rather than just adding some few technical steps into doing business as usual. So somehow they have to have a holistic, comprehensive look at the whole system rather than I'm a standalone organization in all these changes.
Oh, that sounds extremely challenging. I mean, you, Vera, mentioned at the beginning, 80% of business transformations fail. This one cannot fail, and this one is the hardest ever. Well, how are you squaring this circle? What is your advice? Can you give us a little bit of a hint of what the paper contains?
Yeah, I probably do not want to disclose too much because we obviously would like people to read the paper. And as Perian says, it's not a blueprint. It's not one size fits all where you can just follow prescribed steps and get there. But nevertheless, we have included a whole range of suggestions and best practices that banks can adopt. So in summary, if we want to succeed in these efforts, and I absolutely agree with what was said before, that this is not a technical challenge, this is a behavioral challenge. So to transform a business, I personally find it quite useful to think about the transformation in terms of people, process, and technology. So we're changing the technology, but we're also changing processes, and we're also changing the way people operate. So upskilling people, for example, or restaffing certain roles, etc. So banks should aim to shift all these three at the same time, although obviously not in one step. It's a step-by-step process. And when companies normally start thinking about the sustainability gap, you will find out that there's lots and lots of areas they would like to tackle. Again, it's important to understand that it shouldn't all be tackled at the same time, because if you try to do the change in kind of one step and all at the same time, you can destabilize your organization and turn it into a major chaos. So it's important to understand what is material for the organization. The terminology is we talk about double materiality rather than single materiality. So essentially looking at what are the changes in the environment that impact my organization, but also what is happening in my organization that is impacting the environment. And the environment here means environment in a broader sense. So obviously social environment, natural environment, but also political environment, et cetera, et cetera.
Perian, do you have any further thoughts on that?
Yeah, of course. I do want to add that the transformation starts from revisiting the strategy of the organization, is developing the sustainable finance roadmap for the bank before taking any steps further. What I've seen a common mistake in the MENA region as well is committing to a few narrow initiatives, scattered initiatives, and then report on these initiatives. Looking for initiatives, because simply the transformation towards the same is much more bigger than a few initiatives. As I said, it's transforming how a business has been happening for ages, and now we're transforming this mindset. So banks need to look at developing their sustainable finance roadmap and strategy, plus retraining their staff, because they are the agents of change. If we're speaking about change of mindset, they are the agents of change. You have to inject talents by providing the necessary knowledge and skills they need in order to support the organizations, the organizational transformation. They're not just building up blocks of the organizational culture, but the change towards further steps that the organization want to move in certain direction. So the banks will have to, it's a must to seek partnerships and collaborations with professional organizations dedicated and specialized. It's not, again, a standalone journey. So the partnerships and collaborations are vital to provide them with the necessary knowledge and skills, and fulfill the gaps of the organization in understanding how this journey can be handled.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, I can understand all of that, but it is clearly quite challenging. As you mentioned, Perian, earlier, yeah, people do think about what's in it for themselves. What do you think are the opportunities of that transformation for the banks?
Well, MENA region has untapped resources. There are huge opportunities for creating new streams of income in all the countries in the Middle East and North Africa. Again, they've been doing business traditionally. So if you look at what industries banks have been financing, it's the traditional way of doing business. It's tourism. Why don't you look at ecotourism, ecological tourism? So how look in financing oil and gas? Why don't you look at alternative energy? Look at the new untapped resources that you have in the region. And there is a huge opportunity to create new streams of income. Plus, I have always stressed on the cross-context cooperation, because countries among each other, they can still cooperate to satisfy and fulfill the needs of each other by cooperating in different industrial areas. Like some countries, for example, they have strong competitive advantage in agriculture, but they have a big gap in energy. So they can cooperate with another country that has a competitive advantage in energy, but still needs to fulfill a gap in the agribusiness. So the cooperation is key, not just with organizations, with countries among each other to address the untapped resources in the region.
Vera, do you agree with Perianne?
Yeah, I absolutely do. Absolutely do. There are huge development opportunities in the MENA region. I would just stress the partnerships in here. Again, if we see this transformation as a regulatory exercise or a technical exercise, it may end up being costly exercise, which doesn't really bring much benefit. So we should look at it holistically, and we should seek synergies between, for example, sustainable transformation and digital transformation, because we talked briefly about the challenges of data or management information systems overall. So there definitely will be a huge overlap. And all this, there's probably one more actually area that we haven't really talked about or haven't really tackled, and that is the need for strong leadership. And strong leadership at all levels of an organization. So we do need, Perianne already mentioned this, any transformational change is basically what I call a sandwich. So it has to happen top to bottom and bottom to top at the same time. So it has to be led from the top, but it also has to be led from typically through teams of champions from the staff who are the agents of change and together using these two different forces, the transformational change is normally delivered. And that means that we need leaders, and that's senior leaders as much as middle management or junior leaders, who understand, right? They understand what is going on, what the risks are, what the opportunities are, and why there is the urgency of this transformation. So strong need for leadership.
Can I add something to what Vera just said? It's not just leadership, but we need believers. Because sometimes leadership, again, is just about, okay, we are looking at making money, which I just said mentioned about creating new streams of income. So again, they're looking at the end goal, not throughout the process. And this is the difference between a leadership and leadership who are believers in sustainable finance. So they are laying a strong foundation ground in sustainable finance for life. So believers in sustainability is important, not just people who are like, okay, let's tick the box and get over with, so we can stop all these people talking around us and environmentalists who are pressuring us everywhere.
Yeah, so leadership and vision.
Exactly.
Oh, you're adding.
running out of time.
Yeah. Challenges. Just one question that we haven't dealt with, but we are running out of time. So I want just a 30 seconds answer. Yes. Is it any different in MENA than in other region, this transformation? Other characteristics in the MENA region that makes it harder or easier or different?
Well, I'd said, of course, yes. Well, each region has challenges, but yes, in the MENA region, there are a few characteristics of the national business systems and how things happen. Of course, it affects the transformation. That's why I'm reassuring on seeking partnerships and collaborations with professional and industry-focused organizations and academic institutions and training and development in order to do it the right way.
Great. Well, if you want to know more, just go to the website, the GaiaIDEA website, the MENA pages, and find the paper. It's all there for you to read. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to find out more about our qualifications, training, and upcoming events, then go to libf.ac.uk. We also have other podcast channels that dive into topics like trade finance, financial advice, fintech, and more. You can find all of them at libf.ac.uk/podcasts.